The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
So a little backdrop to what I'm going to talk about tonight. While I'm talking about that, if you guys want to open up Colossians chapter 3, that's where we're going to be for most of the time. Actually, I'm kidding myself. I'm going to be all over the place, but that's where we're going to start. So a little backdrop to this is, let's say about a year and a half ago, the Lord was working on me through all the various ways that he does that. I was listening to some podcasts. We were going through a study together with Matt and Taylor and Iz and some other people at my house, going through Crazy Love. That got kind of just built on it some more, and I just really have been feeling like this has something missing to it. Like I feel like I've had my one foot in, you know, and one foot out of the whole Christian scene, following Christ, not really jumping full into it. But I couldn't put my hand on it. Like I didn't know exactly what was missing to this. But I think I did all along, and I just kept fighting it. And then it was interesting about 2 weeks ago, you texted me, Matt, the picture. 2 weeks ago, Matt texted me this picture from our Crazy Love study, and just like, oh, man, now you're bringing somebody else into it. You're just not going to let me run from this. So the whole idea behind this came out of really just having my mindset on something bigger than myself and what exactly I was living for. And I say this started about a year and a half ago, but really I could trace it back to 2013, right at the end of it, when my father passed away. When somebody close to you dies, it really changes your perception of life. And, you know, when you're growing up, you look at your parents and you're like, you think that they're old, right? You think your parents are old. They've lived a long time. I'm sorry, parents, to break it to you, but your parents or your kids think that you're old. I'm sure my kids think that I'm old because we don't have perception of time. And then as you get older, you start to realize, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, that's really not that long of a time period. It's really brief. And especially when somebody dies young, my dad was only 61 when he passed away. And, you know, I'm well over halfway there. And his dad was in his early 60s. And your mind just starts messing with you there. Like, okay, I might have more of my life behind me at this point. More than likely, I do have more of my life behind me at this point than I have ahead of me. So it really changes how you start to perceive things. So let's get into the Bible here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." As Danny was getting ready to come to worship practice, she was listening to I Shall Not Want, and I came in, I just popped around the corner. I was like, so what would that look like for our life? And then she started sharing with me some of what she shared with you guys and what the Lord's been speaking to her, and that verse about, you know, Christ died for us so that we could live to him. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, everything, you've just been speaking to a lot of people this same message of you're dead. You are dead and only made alive in Christ. And when I read verses like this, it's hard to wrap my mind around because there are some terminologies in here that are really difficult if I'm honest. It says that you've been raised. So if you've been raised, if we've been raised, that means we were fallen at one point, right? But, you know, we live in this physical world where it's like the only time I get raised is when I get up out of bed in the morning. That's when I feel like I'm getting raised up. It's, you know, we don't fully understand this idea of we were fallen, now we've been raised up. But you look at Ephesians chapter 2, and it talks about us being dead spiritually, and then now we've been raised to life, spiritual life with Christ. But it also says not only have we been raised, we're also dead. How does that make sense? We've been raised and we're also dead. But then that kind of switches gears here. We've been raised spiritually, but we're dead spiritually as well. We're dead to our old spiritual self, and we are alive to a new spiritual reality. And that new spiritual reality then, that new life that we have, is hidden. Now, I look around at you guys, and you guys are all alive, but you're also dead. And I think that messes us up. When we see each other walking around, living, breathing, to look at each other and say, well, you're also dead. To look at ourselves, we're breathing right now. How am I actually dead? None of you are invisible. So how can you be hidden? And you read something like this, you can quote this, but to really understand what it means without getting lost in it, it can be difficult. So we're raised, we're dead, we're hidden, but to understand these things is going to completely change how we view reality. It's causing us to go from a physical reality to a spiritual reality. And that is so hard. How many of you have a hard time with that? Going from physical reality to spiritual reality? I do. I mean, we grow up with this physical self. We see people in their physical nature. And to think of the world, it's more real spiritually than it is physically. The world is more real spiritually than it is physically. And to understand that there are things going on outside of what we can actually see, I mean, to stay focused on that is hard. It is really hard. But we have to have this paradigm shift in our minds. We have to start seeing things in the spiritual realities rather than in the physical realities if we are going to understand what this life is really actually about. And if we're going to have the perspective that we're supposed to have, it says in here in verse 1 and verse 2, we have to seek the things that are above. We have to set our minds on the things that are above. You guys have probably heard that before. You've probably quoted that before. You might even have written it on a sticky note and put it on your mirror or something. But what does that mean? What does it mean to seek the things that are above? It doesn't give us a list necessarily of what those things are, what we're supposed to think about. It does give us a little bit of a help further down in the chapter, which we're going to get to in just a minute. Excuse me. But we understand that to seek something, that's action. And in order to do something, we need to think about it first, right? Every action was produced by a thought to start with. So we need to set our minds on these things that are above before we can seek these things that are above. But what are these things that are above? None of us have ever done something without thinking about it first. So this is what I've been wrestling with. This is what Matt and I were wrestling with when we started talking a couple weeks ago. What does that look like, excuse me, for our life to seek things that are actually above, to live with this eternal mindset rather than this temporal mindset, when really all we have is life? If you've had kids, they view everything based on how long they've been alive. My 3.5-year-old daughter views everything according to 3.5 years of life. That's a very small window, right? And I can view things according to a 35-year lifespan, and other people can view it in a bigger lifespan, and it really changes how you view things. But what I'm saying is all of us can view things on an eternal landscape rather than just on the temporal, however long we've been alive. So if you look further down in chapter 3 here, and I'm not going to go through all of it, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it. In verses 12 through 14, it gives us a little bit about what that would be like. And you guys can read this on your own time if you want to, or you can skim through it as I'm talking. But 12 through 14 kind of talks about our character. If we're really seeking the things that are above and have our minds set on the things that are above, we're going to be compassionate. We're going to be humble. We're going to be loving. We're going to be forgiving. We're going to bear with one another. We're going to be patient. You know the fruits of the Spirit. And then in verse 15, this is probably one of the more convicting ones for me. We're going to be at peace. Our hearts are going to be at peace. How many of you have ever felt like there was a war raging inside of you? Oh, come on, get your hands up. You know that, yeah, exactly. But as Christians, as followers of Christ, we're meant to just be cool, calm water inside, no matter what's going on. How many of you guys have seen a lake that is like glass? It's a beautiful picture, and that's what we're supposed to look like inside. I knew you'd raise your hand, Larry. But that's what we're supposed to be like inside, like glass. Because when we're like glass, a lake that's like glass reflects the image. When we're like glass, we can reflect his image a whole lot better, guys. So we need to be at peace. Every time I give a test to my students, there's always a few in every class that are freaking out. So what I like to do is take that opportunity to just talk to each of them and say, tell me what's going on. Why are you freaking out? Like, well, I'm not prepared for this. I feel like I don't know it well enough. I said, well, did you study? And most of them will say, yeah, I studied, but I still don't feel prepared for it. I was like, okay, so what does this test matter in light of eternity? And they give me this really confused look on their face. They're like, well, if I don't do well on this test, I'm not going to do well in the class. Like, well, and this really messes up. I'm like, what does this class matter in the light of eternity? Like, really, my teacher's trying to trick me or something here. And they're like, well, if I don't do well in this class, then my GPA won't be what I want, and then I won't get into the college that I want, and I won't get the career that I want. I'm like, what does your grades, your college, and your career have to do with in light of eternity? And finally, they get to the point where they're like, well, nothing. I was like, so take a deep breath and relax and do your best. And, you know, I look at them for the rest of class, and they're just kind of like thinking in their mind, like, what just happened? But really, you know what I'm talking about? Like that job that we have, those grades that we have, we're meant to do our best at everything. It says that in here. We're meant to do everything as we do it unto the Lord. So we should give it our all, but we can't freak out about stuff because in light of eternity, it just doesn't matter. And that's where they want us to be. That's where Christ wants us to be, is focused on what matters in light of eternity. And then verse 16 talks about if you're going to be seeking the things that are above, you're going to be in the Word. You are going to be a person of the Word. You're going to be teaching people. You're going to be reading it. You're going to be doing it. You're going to be loving it. And then because of that, you're going to be full of praise. You're going to be full of joy. You're going to be full of thanksgiving. And then verse 17 is probably one of the most convicting. Like I was saying, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, that covers everything. We do it to the Lord. So if we're seeking things that are above, if we have our mind set on eternity, every single thing we do has to be unto the Lord. Every single thing that you do. And that can be hard for me sometimes to think about. You know, I'm eating my food. How can I do this to glorify the Lord? I'm reading this book. How can I glorify the Lord? These trivial things. These trivial things. I'm washing windows. How can I do this unto the Lord? And it really gets you to start thinking about the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. And I think that's the point. Whatever you're doing, you're so focused on the Lord that it's just going to affect how you do it. It's going to affect the people that come into your life. And that's what 18 through 25 talks about. All of our relationships that we have are going to be affected by the one true relationship, the most important relationship that we have. And that's with Jesus Christ. So those are some things that kind of introduce us to what does it look like to have an eternal mindset. Well, if you guys are like me, you like practical examples. So I picked out a few practical examples from the Bible of people that I looked at as having an eternal mindset, being focused on the Lord, doing everything to the Lord, seeking the things that are above, and setting their minds on those. So the first one, if you guys want to turn to Luke chapter 2. This one is near and dear to my heart because this person is the one that we named our firstborn after. In Luke chapter 2, you find a lady by the name of Anna. And Anna is a spectacular woman. And I don't know if you guys have just skimmed over this part or just read over this part, but to stop and think about what we're reading here is pretty incredible. And it's verses 36 through 38. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years, and when she was a virgin, and then a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So she's really young. She's married for 7 years. Her husband dies. And what does she do? She gives the rest of her life, not seeking another mate, but devoted 100% to the Lord and worshiping him and praying to him and fasting to him. That might seem extreme, but that's it. That is a life seeking the things that are above, having a mindset on the things that are above. What mattered to her was the Lord. That is what mattered to her, and that's what we want for our daughter, and that's why, you know, she just stood out to us like, man, if she could be like this, our daughter could be like this. And you know, every time we talk about Anna, she has a little Bible that has pictures, and she knows who Anna is in that Bible, and she knows about Anna in the Bible, and we've been praying these things over her, but on more than that, we're praying these things over ourselves. Like, Lord, whatever happens to me, I just want to be devoted to you 100%. I don't want to depart from worshiping you. I don't ever want to depart from fasting. I don't ever want to depart from praying night and day, night and day. It doesn't say that she would go to the temple every day to have a little bit of prayer time. It's like her whole life was just consumed with God, and it can be that way for us. And I know that's a huge step for some of us, a huge step. It is for me. The next one comes out of Matthew chapter 3. So if you guys want to flip back to Matthew 3. This is another person we read about in the Bible that was devoted to the things that are above from a very early age. In fact, the Lord spoke that over him while he was still in the womb. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now I'm not saying you have to go wear camel's hair and eat locusts and honey to be devoted to the Lord, but that's a pretty practical example of somebody like, he didn't care. Now if you and me were to quit our job, give up our home, that would probably be our diet and our wardrobe. That would be it. Give away everything that we have. I mean, we're not going to live off of going out into the wilderness and preaching. But God kept him alive. God supplied his every need, because everything John the Baptist was about was preaching the word, was telling people about the kingdom, was telling people to repent, was telling people about the good news, about the one to come. He was fully devoted to spreading the message. So somebody who is seeking the things that are above, we are going to be completely consumed with spreading the message of Jesus Christ. The next one comes out of Mark 12, and this is probably the most challenging to me. Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. And he sat down opposite of the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything that she has, all she had to live on. I think that's pretty obvious. Everything that we have, we got to be willing to give it. And maybe even more than willing, maybe we just need to give it. Not like the people, and he didn't put down the people that were giving out of their abundance. That's great, but we need to give to the point that it hurts. We need to give to the point that it causes sacrifice. We need to give to the point where we have to give up something else, because that says Jesus is the most important and his kingdom spreading is the most important. I mean, you can read the whole Bible and look at a lot of other examples, but I thought those would be three really practical ones. And when you read about those three, when you look at the way that they're living their lives, what would you say was most important to them? What was most important to them? What was their life about? A little louder. God. Now here's the dagger. What would people who see the way you live your life say is most important to you? The people watching you, and we all have people watching us, what would they say is most important in your life? And only you can think about that and answer for yourself, because that is a question that I'm trying to answer for myself. Because our lives are going to reflect what's most important to us. You know, how are you, Matt said, brought up, I need to look at my budget and see how I'm spending my money. I was like, yeah, man, we have got to work more stuff in that has eternal significance. And if our house payment and car payment and cable TV and cell phone bills and all that stuff is getting away or getting in the way of us giving more, then maybe it just needs to leave. Maybe it just needs to leave, because we have got to be devoted to the things of eternity. What are we talking about with people? What are we talking about with our kids? What are we talking about with our families? What are we talking about with our friends, our coworkers? What kind of stuff comes out of our mouth? That is what's going to be important to us. How are we spending our time? You know, if you have kids, you understand free time is few and far between. But when that free time comes up, how are you spending it? What are your goals in life? I mean, that says a lot about what is important to you. Are you living to just get to retirement? Or are you living to get to the ultimate retirement, where we get to worship the Lord forever and eternity? You know, Matt and I decided this is such a huge undertaking that we're just like, you know what, let's just pray and pick some things that the Lord is leading us in as first steps. And then after we take those steps, we're going to hold each other accountable in it, and then we're going to take more steps and more steps until we get to the point where we can actually say, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because I'm willing to bet that most of us in this room can't really say that with a lot of sincerity. So I'm going to share a little bit about what I chose to do. If you want to know what Matt chose to do, you can ask him. I told him I was going to put him on the spot and ask how he was doing in front of the church, but I'm not going to. So you guys can do that after church if you want. So I decided three things that I was going to start with. One, I'm going to start giving away my stuff. And I started going through my closet and picking out the things I can't fit anymore because I like snacks too much. And then I started picking out things that, I haven't used this in a while. I'll give that away. And then I got so convicted, like the Lord was saying, no, you need to give away the stuff you like. You need to give away your nice stuff. Don't be bringing your garbage down to Goodwill. You bring your nice stuff down to Goodwill. You find somebody that can use something that you have a tight hold on. Problem is, I'm not a big guy, so not a lot of people fit into my stuff. I'm like, who can I think of that's my size that needs stuff that I can just give them? So, like, I have a suit. I want to give away a suit to somebody that needs a suit, but I don't know a lot of medium-sized guys. Not like medium as an average, but like I wear medium. So if you know anybody who's wears mediums, you let me know because I want to give away some stuff. And I'll be honest, I have things that I'm just like, God, don't take me over there. I don't want to give away that stuff, but I'm probably going to have to. Otherwise, this is all for naught. And I also wanted to do something else, and that was to talk about Jesus way more. I talk about Jesus with you guys. I talk about Jesus with my family. I talk about Jesus with my Christian friends. But I want to make it a part of every conversation. Like, I want to bug people. I want people to be so annoyed with me because, like, oh, man, here he comes. He's going to tell me about Jesus again. I want people to be irritated because I make everything about him. I want to talk about it so much to maybe I lose some window washing clients because they're like, you can't wash my windows anymore because I don't want to hear about Jesus. I mean, if I'm not doing that, then I'm not doing it enough. I need to talk about Jesus a whole lot more to the point where it makes me uncomfortable. And the third thing is I want to start shaping more my daughters into people that view life according to eternity. And guys, I am blown away. Anna is working on memorizing her fourth Bible verse. She's not even 4 years old, and she just... Man, I think I was in high school before I memorized one Bible verse. It's like, this is crazy. I bet there's a lot of Christians that don't have four Bible verses memorized. And it was so cute because we were over here doing communion. And I don't know if you guys heard her or not, but I almost switched on my mic so you guys would hear. But she just started spitting out John 3:16 while Iz was praying over the elements. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. But that's what it's about, guys. That's what it's about. And I'm going to learn from her. By doing this, I am going to learn from her because she, I mean, we were at a playground the other day, and this really blew me away. These girls were talking about this bug. There's this bug on the playground area, and Anna goes over and says, God made bugs. And the girl's like, yeah. And she's like, and there's one God, and his name is Jesus. To strangers, she just said that. I'm like, oh my gosh, why don't I do that? So that's the other thing I want to do, man. I want to be like my daughter, and I want to just be fearless telling people about Jesus. You know, Danny went on a trip this last week, about a week and a half ago, for 4 days, and that was the longest we had been apart from each other. I know what you guys are probably thinking, suck it up. 4 days isn't that long, but... To me, it was. Ever since we got engaged back in 2009, we have not spent much time apart. We are very connected to each other. And when she was gone those 4 days, I mean, I missed her a lot. And I had the two girls, and they kept me busy for sure, but it wasn't the same. I still, you know, just really, really missed her. And we got to talk on the phone. We got to text. We got to even FaceTime. Which is really cool, but it just wasn't the same. You guys know if you've ever been away from somebody you really love, you want them there. Even if you're not doing anything together, you just want them there with you. You know, guys, that's what love looks like. That's what it looks like when we love another person. We want to be with them. And we need to be so in love with Jesus that it's the same way. I mean, we can talk to him. We can pray. I mean, we can't FaceTime, but wouldn't that be cool if we could FaceTime with Jesus? But it's not the same. Like, we can have encounters. We can feel his presence. We can even feel him leading us in certain ways. But he's in heaven. He is seated at the right hand of authority. We aren't with him yet. And we need to be so in love with him. Yeah, we have a spirit. We have a spirit inside of us. So we have part of God inside of us, but we are not with Jesus. And we need to long, and I want to long to be with Jesus so bad that all I can think about is that day when I get to stand face to face with him and be with him forever, because that's what matters. That is what matters. I'm going to do a survey, and I want you guys to be honest. How many of you guys are feeling honest right now? All right, Jory's the only one. All right, amen. in the last 24 hours, okay, all of this is in the last 24 hours, I want you to raise your hand if you have thought about work or school in the last 24 hours. Okay. I want you to raise your hand if you have thought about a sport or hobby in the last 24 hours. Okay. I want you to raise your hand if you have thought about money in the last 24 hours. Well, come on, get your hands up. Everybody's thought about money in the last 24 hours. I want you to think or raise your hand if you have thought about somebody of the opposite sex in the last 24 hours. If you are married, you better get your hand up. Now, how many of you have thought about the moment you're going to see Jesus face to face in the last 24 hours? A few hands. Hopefully it's not because, oh man, I am glad he did not come back today. Hopefully it's with that longing, like, oh man, Jesus, just, I mean, think about if we woke up in the morning, like, I remember the day that Danny was coming home, that I woke up, I was like, man, I'm going to be going to the airport, and I'm going to be picking up my wife, I'm going to be bringing her home, and I was so excited. Imagine if I woke up, or you woke up every morning like, oh man, this could be the day that Jesus takes me home. This could be it. This could be the day I actually get to see him face to face. It says in Colossians chapter 3 that our minds need to be set on or locked on to him. Because guys, all those things that Matt and I are doing, they're just things. And if those things don't lead us into viewing Jesus and keeping our minds locked on Jesus, then they don't matter. If they don't lead us to telling people about Jesus, then they don't matter. That has to be our motive. Everything, he is what is above. That's what it means to have an eternal mindset. Our minds need to be set on him, being with him, seeing him, glorifying him, telling people about him. It's him, it's him, it's him. Because it said in Colossians chapter 3 that he is our life. Not he's part of our life. We are not making him a part of our life. He is our life. Everything about it is him. Whether we choose to make it that way or not, he is our life. And we need to start getting to a point where we think in the terms that, man, I got to breathe because of him. I got to live because of him. I've got this family because of him. I've got this job because of him. I get to go here because of him. And pretty soon you actually start to make everything about him to the point where, yeah, you might irritate people. I'm not going to name names, but we used to have this, get together as family and stuff, and one time a person that was in our family said, man, every time we get together, why do we have to talk about Jesus? And part of me was like, yes, she's seeing it, that we are talking about Jesus every time, and I didn't care that the person was annoyed because they saw it. It's like, that should be what it is like. Man, we can't help but to talk about him and make everything about him. You know, Paul's life definitely exemplified it. If you guys go to Philippians chapter 3, I know that Dave just took you guys through Philippians, talked about joy, but I'm going to come back here because this is so important. Looking at what Paul talks about. Because this is a picture of it. This is it. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, it says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, and not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes from faith in Christ and the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Man, Paul understood it. When Christ died and we accepted him, We didn't accept him into our life. We gave him ours. And that's not what gets portrayed a lot. I even hesitate using the term, we need to accept Jesus Christ. It's not about that. It's about giving your life to Jesus Christ. And when we do that, Jesus makes us his. We are his. He owns us. And we no longer live. That's what's talking about Colossians. We have died. Our old self has died. And everything that we are is because of him. And you know, Paul talked about that. He said, everything else is just garbage. It doesn't matter. I just want to know Jesus. I mean, is that you tonight? Is that you on a consistent basis? Do you wake up in the morning and be like, man, whatever I do today, I just want to know him. I just want to be with him. I just want to experience him. I just want to tell other people about him. And my guess is for most people here, that's not it. You're like me and you're still trying to get to that point, and it's going to be a life of trying to get to that point where we're just so consumed, and this country doesn't make it easy. The American dream is so antichrist. The American dream is all about you and me. It has nothing to do with Jesus. And it's hard to wake up in our beds and take a warm shower and be like, yeah, I'm all about Jesus, but am I? Are you? Now you can see why I tried to avoid giving this message, because now I got to go home and Danny's going to be like, remember what you talked about? And be able to bring that stuff up, which I hope she does. And I hope she can keep me accountable. And even though I won't like to hear it, I mean, I need to hear it. I need to be refocused. We all need to be refocused. Jesus is our focus. He's our goal in life. And then verses 17 through 19, Paul says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us, for many of whom have often told you, and now I tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ, and their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, and their minds are set on earthly things. Paul doesn't say that these are murderers and adulterers and thieves. He said all they're doing is they're walking around thinking about themselves. They are their God. Their desires are their God. And for people who are like that, whether they say they believe in Jesus or not, it's black and white what their end is. And I don't have to repeat it for you guys to see it. And I don't want that for myself. I don't want to be an enemy of the cross of Christ. I don't want this life to be all about me. I don't want to wake up in the morning and just consume, consume, consume. I want to wake up in the morning and know who my God is and make sure my actions for the rest of the day show people who my God is. And I don't want it to be me. And it's hard. That is hard. And then verses 20 and 21, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to even subject all things to himself. I mean, we don't belong here, guys, but so many of us are busy setting up home, laying our roots. And we make this life so comfortable that at some points it's like we don't want to leave. Do you want to die today? And I'm not talking about in some morbid way where you want to take your life. Like, do you want to go home today, right now? That's where we need to be. Like, yeah, I'm going to do what I'm called to do here. I'm going to love people. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. I'm going to make my life about Jesus. But I hope that he takes me home today. I want to see him. Because that's what it says, our citizenship, that's our home. We're waiting for him. We're longing for him. We want to be with him. You know, in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the kingdom of God is this reference to the Lord's, or God's lordship over everything. And his righteousness is talking about his likeness. So When we wake up in the morning, what we want to do is seek his lordship over our life and to be like him. And then to spread that to other people. So that we see our homes, we see our places of business, we see our church, we see our community start to exemplify the kingdom of God and give over lordship to him. I mean, we sang about that, build your kingdom here. But whose kingdom are you building? Whose kingdom am I building? We're all building kingdoms. Are we building our own or are we building his? You know, as part of my window washing business, I get to do some massive homes. We're talking like 5,000 plus square foot homes. These things are huge. I didn't know people lived in these things. But they are massive. And I'm thinking like, I'll be honest, I'm like, man, this would be awesome to live in here. And I'm like, wait a minute. No, this is like a castle. These people have their own kingdom here. Why would they want Jesus to come back? And then I feel that faint whisper saying, like, don't act like you're doing anything different. Even though your house isn't as big in your own subtle ways, I'm building my kingdom here. I'm creating comforts in my life. And, you know, we spend so much time creating comfort that if we're really honest, we are trying to create a life for ourselves that does not need him in it. We create a life that is so comfortable that we don't need him. We don't need him to intervene. We don't need him to provide for us because we're comfortable. That's the American dream, and that's what so many of us have bought into, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody other than myself. I want to be comfortable. I want to set aside some money where I don't have to, you know, pray that God provides the money for the bills the next month. All that is creating a life that doesn't need him. I mean, you can think about that for yourself in your own prayer time and communing with the Lord. It's like, how am I creating comfort and creating a life that doesn't need you? Now, is it wrong to be comfortable? This is how I'm going to close. Is it wrong to be comfortable? Well, it is. If it keeps us from sharing Jesus with our coworkers and our friends and strangers, if we choose comfort over sharing Christ, then comfort is wrong. It's wrong if it keeps us from giving extravagantly because it's not in the budget or because we might have to give something up in order to give. It's wrong if it prevents us from taking care of the needs of others, even at the expense of our own. And comfort is wrong if it makes us want this home more than we want heaven. So here's what I want you guys to do. I know you guys were all thinking, like, we got to have some, he's got something coming where we're going to have to talk to each other. Well, here it is. Matt and I have taken that step of trying to keep each other accountable and telling each other, this is what I want to do, and I need you to check in on me and make sure I follow through with this, and then we'll work with each other and help build on that so that our minds are just, we're trying to help each other rework our minds and get totally focused on the Lord. So here's what I want you guys to do. Find somebody you're comfortable with. If it's a spouse, a friend, whatever, and I want you to just tell them, here's what I want to do to make my life matter in eternity. Pick one thing, pick two things, three things, whatever you want. This is what I'm going to do. And if you don't have each other's phone number, exchange it so they can check in on you. And I want you to keep each other accountable and then pray over each other. God bless you guys. I love you. Go make a difference for eternity. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com.